Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. Hello there, Chris.
Good morning, Beth Ann. We're looking at least one of the taxes on sin, yeah?
Right, and the question is it appropriate? We're going to talk about that this morning. Now, you've probably heard someone say that if you want to stop people from buying a certain product, well, just heavily tax it. That link between taxation and how to influence behavior is apparent in a measure still on the move this session. It would increase the cigarette and small cigar tax. This morning, the House Health Committee will consider Senate Bill 2690's latest draft, which ditched the actual amount of the tax and the allocation of revenue, also the effective date, to facilitate further discussion. That's the line that frequently shows up to focus on the intent and not necessarily on the specifics of a bill. And the intent of this bill is at the heart of comments made by the Tax Foundation of Hawaii. Its president, Tom Yamachika, joins us now. Good morning.
Morning, Beth Ann.
So as you look at this bill, and obviously you've made comments about it, the central question is, what are lawmakers trying to do with this bill?
Yeah, now, there's a couple of things going on, obviously. One is there's some sentiment in the Department of Health that they want to disincentivize this behavior, namely smoking, and they'll do whatever it takes. Their efforts have been largely successful because the sales of cigarettes have, in fact, been dropping.
We've also raised the legal age of smoking from 18 to 21.
Right. That was a big step that happened last year. But apparently they want to do more.
The idea of being able to create a funding mechanism, a revenue stream for programs to stop people from smoking or to be able to prevent it with educational outreach, that all seems to be understandable and logical. But the question about this bill is, in fact, is that going to create a revenue stream that's dependable?
Well, the problem in the past with having programs or services depend on a sin tax like this one is that when behavior does start to change, and people do come to Jesus or whatever, and the sin goes down, so does the money, and the programs and services that have been relying on that money are now in trouble. And certainly that's been the case with the School of Medicine and the UH Cancer Center. Both of these, fine institutions are funded by funds that derive their revenue from the tobacco tax. And as I mentioned, the amount of tobacco sales have been going down. The fund has been drying up. And the Cancer Center and the School of Medicine have been relying on those funds, and now they're in trouble because the money's drying up.
So is this really just meant to be a stopgap measure, and the idea being that, okay, if sales start to drop and people's behavior is changing, then maybe we don't need as many programs too?
Well, that's quite possible, but it doesn't seem to be the intent of this bill. Now, the other, I guess, justification for doing this bill, which in one prior incarnation was a 25% increase in the per stick tax. Now the cigarette tax now is 16 cents a stick, which is one of the highest in the nation. And the previous draft of the bill would raise it to 20 cents. Okay. So some of the supporters of the bill are saying, well, geez, we haven't had a tobacco tax increase for 5 years. But that doesn't mean that nothing happened. I mean, come on. The smoking age went up last year, which is a huge step in the effort to stop or disincentivize the behavior. Now, if what they're doing is if their goal is to stop the behavior, then you can do a couple of things. You can tax it, or you can ban it. And raising the smoking age is a way of banning it, at least for, you know, part of the population.
The way in which this is crafted, though, also brings up the idea of black market value and what might happen. Should the value of this increase because people can't get it till a certain age and it's highly taxed?
Right. So that's another very good point, Beth Ann, and that is, what kind of behavior are you incentivizing? Yeah, people may start smoking the product. I mean, stop smoking, which is what you want to do, or what you want to incentivize. At least these people do. Or you will create greater incentives for people to go elsewhere, like the black market, and that's and you see that very frequently in some of the other states where this has happened, especially when you have. Adjacent states with like less in terms of tobacco tax or cross border. Here it's kind of tougher to to have black market smuggling because you know we have a lot of water between us and anywhere else, but it's still possible. It happens.
So as you look at where we are with this bill now, and it seems like it's got great steam behind it, and there are you know a lot of people who believe that this is the way to go. What are the unintended consequences that perhaps we haven't talked about that we should?
Well,
besides the idea that we might create an incentive for different kinds of behavior, including black market activity.
Again, one possible consequence is you may be a victim of your own success. If you jack up the price of cigarettes yet again, demand may go down some more. And other programs, services, or whatnot that are depending on this revenue, they're going to suffer some more. They're probably budgeting on or banking on an increase or at least the stable funding, and that's not going to happen.
Is there something that you see that would be a better way to achieve the same ends as the intent of this bill?
Well, it's difficult to figure out what the intent of this bill is. Is it to raise money? Is it to change behavior? If it's to change behavior, then why don't you just ban it?
Which brings us right back to the beginning of the conversation. What is this really meant to do? Thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you, Beth Ann.
Tom Yamachiga is the president of the Tax Foundation of Hawaii, SB 2690, which increases the excise tax on cigarettes and little cigars, is scheduled to be heard by the Health Committee in the House Conference Room 329.